Hello and welcome to Soft Spot, the podcast of the Global Soft Foundation. My name is Chelsea Hamishin and I am our Director of Marketing and also the host of this show. You're joining us today for episode number 28, which we recorded while we were at the Modern Warfare Symposium on Fort Bragg last month. Since we were in the hub of Army Special Operations, we thought it would be a great chance to get some Army representatives on the podcast, so we did. This episode was just me and Lieutenant Colonel Rick Wulschlager, the commander of the U.S. Army Special Operations Recruiting Battalion. The SORB focuses on in-service recruiting, meaning they recruit from within the U.S. Army to bring soldiers into special operations. We talk about the many soft career paths within the Army, women in soft, and what information soldiers should arm themselves with before deciding to leave active duty. So here is Soft Spot number 28 with Lieutenant Colonel Rick Wulschlager.
And then if we want to break it down.
Wow. Global Soft Foundation.
My immediate reaction was, this is awesome.
This idea.
The Special Operations Community.
Association for Special Operations.
You have our support. Let's move.
Welcome to Soft Spot.
My name is Rick Wulschlager, Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army Special Forces. I've been in for almost 20 years now, and I joined the Army in 2000 out of college, University of Florida. I went and joined the infantry, and I was branch detailed as an ordnance officer. My first deployment happened to coincide right when 9/11 happened, and so that was kind of the formative decision period in my time that I knew I wanted to continue to serve, and I wanted to do it in Special Forces. So 2003, I went to selection, and ever since I've been in Army Special Forces and other NATO and joint type assignments.
Awesome. So can you talk a little bit about what you do now and what your battalion does?
Sure. So I'm currently serving as the U.S. Army Special Operations Recruiting Battalion. We're located here at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. That's the headquarters and one of our companies and one of the recruiting stations. We actually do all the active duty in-service recruiting for not only four of the special operations career fields. That's Special Forces, Civil Affairs, PSYOPs, and the 160th Special Ops Aviation Regiment. We do not recruit for the Rangers, but we also do the Army Active Duty Warrant Officer mission, as well as the EOD missions as well. So with that, we are spread out. We have small teams of recruiters that are located on all the Army installations, the major installations. So that's right now a total of 16 stations dispersed across division and corps level footprints, as well as some of the separate brigade footprints. We have stations in our footprint spanning from Hawaii to Alaska, all the way across into Europe, into Germany and Italy. And in fact, we're going to stand up here in a few months another station on the Korean Peninsula as well, at Camp Humphreys.
Cool. So how many people are in the battalion overall?
There's 170 strong civilians and soldiers, but at the actual recruiter field level, it's 129, again, across 16 different locations. Those are just the locations where we have our footprint. We actually are responsible for clearly other Army installations as well. So some of the minor installations, training venues where there aren't divisions or corps, we also conduct active recruiting there as well.
So I know you said you joined right before 9/11. How would you say things have changed as, the war has gone on in terms of in-service recruiting?
Well, there's some, there's some definite changes, and most of them are for the better. But, to say some of the obvious, I would tell you that first, inside the Army, I mean, the men and women that are serving now, quite frankly, they are better, faster, stronger, smarter than we ever were when we joined, and that's saying it lightly. So, really the strength that we have, the resilience we have to do this, be in active combat for going on 19, 20 years, is really in large part to the quality, the high quality of men and women we get. In a sense, that hasn't changed, but it has gotten better, I think. What I'll tell you, though, is that in terms of Army force structure, and I don't want to get outside of my expertise, but I can say that we've gone kind of pretty full circle in terms of, the size of the Army we had, the level of readiness, the strength we had, growing really, I think, exponentially to fight into two, large theaters, about 10 years ago till really seven years ago, where the Army did a large downsize of personnel and force structure. To now, we're getting to a point where the Army is growing again over the past year, a couple of years. So with that, you see in and out of combat, large-scale combat, emergent, you know, semi-permissive environments, going to places like Africa, you can see that there is the complexity of the battlefield, so to speak, has definitely grown. We obviously went from, you know, learning to fight counterinsurgencies back to how do we fight and win in a large-scale peer-on-peer, near-peer fight. And so trying to hone and become an expert in all of these different mission sets, while also going back to the basics, so to speak, at a higher readiness rate, has made it, I think, a big challenge for everybody, but it's as exciting as it could be.
So what would you say to someone who is, you know, thinking about getting out of the Army, you know, but not totally sure about it?
Sure. So first, I will say, personally speaking, I think that anyone who's, you know, has decided to serve their country in uniform, you know, you don't owe anything more than whatever you and your family are willing to support, and best luck to you, and we're glad for your service. But I will say that, you know, the Army is the military service, but the Army in particular here, I think it offers about as many exciting career paths and skills and certifications than you can get in any of the industries in a what we know is a very strong economy right now. This, the Army offers, I think, the total package. So joining it is a great opportunity for any young man or woman. But staying in, what I want to tell you here is that I consider our job, okay, as recruiters in service, active duty recruiters, is to really help arm those men and women that are in the service and wondering, do I stay in? If so, do I continue doing what I'm currently doing, or do I go somewhere, a different pathway? I will say that I think we all as soldiers owe it to ourselves to arm ourselves with all of the opportunities that are offered in the Army, because there's just so many, and they're amazing. And the people we can serve with, the types of technologies, the platforms, the missions that are out there are really amazing. And they're, you couldn't know all of them on your own. So what we do, while, you know, we have a mission to recruit for special operations, EOD, and warrant officer, and what I'll say is it's really a service that we try to provide to soldiers of arming them with career decision-making information. Because if one were to get out because they didn't know what else they could have done or didn't have a great sense and didn't know about some of these opportunities, I think possibly they're selling themselves short with, you know, career-fulfilling opportunities as well as benefits to them and their families.
I know it's hard to put it into a paragraph what each of these career paths really means and entails, but for someone who thinks EOD is just putting on a massive suit and, you know, walking around every day and disarming bombs, like, do you have like a little blurb for each one that kind of highlights what they are?
What I'll say about EOD though is that, you know, obviously it is more than just putting on a suit and bombs. There is, you know, on the unclassified side, but also the classified side, there are things and missions that EOD does. We're not just talking, you know, clearing roadside IEDs. You know, that's what we kind of see and know and are comfortable with. But the importance and integrity of them on, you know, some dynamic teams around the globe right now, is something I actually couldn't say enough about. So the training required, the capability, the skills they learn that they're seeking for these EOD soldiers is unheralded, I think.
What about like a warrant officer? Like, what's the main, you know, selling point
Sure.
on that one?
Well, warrant officers, I mean, we call them the technical elite. And so inside of the Army, just to speak of the warrant officer cohort, our mission for the warrant officers, and by the way, there's about 41 warrant officer MOSs that we're recruiting for right now. So those are different career fields. Their mission has increased by well over 75% in the past 5 years. So the demand inside the Army is tremendous. It's nearly doubled in a short period of time. So what they have, what they learn, what they offer to the Army is absolutely is of vital importance, I'd say. Also, there's a lot of career fields within that. And, you know, full disclosure, a soldier, you know, a certain soldier, not everybody would qualify to join all of these, because often the warrant officer cohort it's actually a prerequisite to have some type of training in maybe that particular career field. So some of the different technical aspects, they don't open it up to every soldier in the Army. It may just be in some career fields, in some cases, a couple dozen soldiers may qualify, a couple hundred may qualify in the Army. So, but others, like aviation, for example, that's open to about as broad as it can be what they're looking for, as well as, a Marine deck officer, warrant officer, driving boats for the Army. You know, that is opened up to a large number of soldiers that could qualify. So, you know, it's one of these things that without speaking about all 40 of them, you know, if it's something that someone says, hey, maybe that's of interest, I just don't know enough of what it is, I will tell you, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, there's a GoArmySoft.com website. We have a link to the warrant officer website as well, to their page. And that will give you all the information on the mission sets, how to contact recruiters to talk more, and find out, you know, what opportunity, what career may fit for you. But back to the warrant officer, some of the benefits, I mean, there's not only the rank, the responsibility, and the training that goes with it, but within the warrant officer cohorts, these are skills that are, you know, industry, state of the industry, you know, certifications in some cases, that are not only great for after Army service, but while in the Army, they are unique to a small group of people that without them, the Army couldn't do some critical functions.
What are some of the obstacles that you guys are having? You know, the younger people aren't as into, you know, maybe staying in the Army for a full career anymore. What obstacles have you seen?
Yeah, I'm hesitant to speak in too many generalities on this, because I will say that what I've learned by talking about, you know, the youngins these days is that a lot of our maybe assumptions or thoughts are not necessarily based entirely in fact. And so I don't want to, you know, pigeonhole any group of generational people. Mm-hmm. But I will say, you know, there are some things that, you know, clearly, you know, I've been in for almost 20 years now. Kids are different than I was. And like I said, they're smarter, faster, stronger, and they're more mindful, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I want to hit on something you just said. So about the idea that they don't want to serve out a career in the Army the way we do. I just sat in on a training conference at USAREC a few weeks ago, and a fascinating thing. There was somebody from a company who was actually a marketing type firm that actually answers and looks into and does surveys on these types of questions. And he was focused on Gen Z, and one of the things. That I'll try to get right here, but what he said about that particular assumption or question was, they're no necessarily more or less willing to stay in the Army, or in essence, they want to jump around jobs more often. That's not necessarily the case. What they're looking for is they're looking for a career path that allows them more roles to serve in within that one career, which is to say, you know, if you knew that I didn't just have to do this one thing forever. Mm-hmm. I would be more inclined to stay. So if I had more opportunities to do different types of roles with different types of either training, skill requirements, responsibilities, et cetera, they'd be more willing to stay. And I just want to reemphasize, I think the Army fits that to a T, especially in Army Special Operations. So if I might, you know, within Special Operations, what I think is so exciting about this as a career for soldiers is that the relevancy of the missions, the elite teams, you know, this is really the crux of, you know, professionals wanting to serve with other professionals and actively seeking that out, you know, by virtue of going through this gauntlet of training to serve with that, doing relevant missions, advanced training opportunities that are not only world-class, but not offered to anyone else in the military in a lot of cases, as well as, you know, increased control of your career path for you and your family. And so I think those are commonalities that would apply to any of the RSOF fields that make this, you know, something that's not only desirable, but something worth looking into and worth pursuing.
How do you all reach out to people and, you know, share this information? I know there's so many, you know, new platforms these days. Have you had to, you know, change your kind of tactics?
Yeah, we've had to. And I would say that there's a lot of tools available. There's a lot of requirements to pursue different avenues and to be quite forthright. You know, we in the SORB and we in the Army, I think, it's still, I think, an uphill battle to really optimize how we use these tools to, you could say, to recruit more soldiers into the Army or into SOF, but really, again, it's that service of to make people aware of the great opportunities there are in the Army or in special operations. And that's hard. And that's, you know, that's always an uphill struggle. But with some of the new technologies we use, and I'll just call it, you know, the way we consume information now, just over the past 10, 15 years, I don't think we've all been able to catch up and fully optimize that for recruiting. So not only using it, but how to use that platform to, again, increase awareness, engender commitment, you know, to spark interest in these. And so there's a lot of, I think, discovery learning with how we're doing this. And I think there's still a lot of, I won't call them gaps. I'll just say, you know, we're trying them. I just don't know that we've got all of them dialed in completely yet. So that's a definite work in progress. If I can, though, this is, you've asked a question with really a broad range of answers. What I'll tell you, what I think is most important in our recruiting function is that we call it prospecting in recruiting. It's a term. It doesn't have any additional meaning. It means that, you know, the name of the game starts with, you know, you've got the pool of candidates and you have to reach out to a certain number of them in order to get a certain number of them to, you know, show up, in our case, attend and pass selection so that they can continue on, you know, the RSOF training pathways, the qualification courses, so that on the other side of the far right side of that, they can have a sufficient number of trained, badged, tabbed, you know, operators to fill the operational force. So that's a, you know, that sounds easy. You can draw out some models that make it brief pretty well. But the challenge is, especially in the active duty Army, these soldiers aren't sitting still waiting to be contacted. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in units that are out conducting, you know, operations to you know, provide for the security of the nation.
I need to interrupt really quickly to talk about a GlobalSoft corporate partner, Periton. Periton provides innovative, reliable solutions to the nation's most sensitive and mission-critical programs and systems. Periton has significant experience providing highly differentiated space, intelligence, cyber and SIGINT, defense, homeland security, electronic warfare, and secure communication solutions, and has become a trusted partner on the missions that are critical to the security priorities of the United States. Capabilities include complex software and technology services and solutions, as well as end-to-end mission operations capabilities, including software systems development, offensive and defensive cyber operations, modeling and simulation, mission management, and quick reaction capabilities. The company is headquartered in Herndon, Virginia, with 3,500 employees across the U.S. and Canada. Periton is a sustaining partner of the foundation, and we appreciate them and all that they do. So we had a group in here before this. There were two female civil affairs officers, and they were actually talking about how they're seeing more and more women like joining the SOF community. Sure. And more opportunities have been provided. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that's changed?
Yeah, I can. First, I will say, you know, if you are a female in the Army and you're wondering about a career in SOF, I'll tell you, we've got the place for you. We're looking for you. We need you. Okay. Really, that goes for everybody in the service. So I will tell you that in Army SOF, we're not particularly trying to look at too much of the, you know, do we have all of the right, does everything match up exactly? We're looking for highly qualified people that have the capability
you know, and the RSOF attributes to come in and serve, you know, on these teams. So in that case, we're looking for the most qualified people. But I will, you know, as you know, SF Special Forces opened its career field up to women just a few years ago. What that clearly means is, you know, there are not you know, females in SF at the moment. So yeah, I think that those are opportunities for RSOF to get the best talent that we are looking to get more of. And so in that respect, I think it's, you know, this is the, there's been no better time than now to give this a shot or to look into it. So yeah, we're looking for the best people.
It seems like over the past few years, there's been sort of an onslaught of like movies and TV shows and things that are about Special Forces or Navy SEALs. Do you think that's helped or hurt?
I'm not sure. I think that any positive portrayal of, you know, the professionalism of these men and women is a good thing, personally. Mm-hmm. You know, while Hollywood is there to make money, not necessarily to, you know, provide the best image or whether that's, you know, journalistic stories, et cetera, you know, those aren't, you know, the agendas aren't always the same, but I think that any positive coverage or portrayal is definitely a good thing. I couldn't tell you as a measure of effectiveness, you know, this number of movies over this period of time has had this positive impact. But I think that, you know, a perennial struggle in the Army, but in RSOF, is that, hey, you know, people, not enough people, whether it's, you know, lawmakers, decision makers, influencers, or the qualified market, not enough people know, are aware of, or understand necessarily what we do. And clearly we know that when you know less about something, you may be less inclined to make a life-changing decision to join that. Mm-hmm. And so that is really a big part of our fight of, hey, we need more awareness so that more people can, A, understand, make informed decisions, again, increase their interest level to give it a shot or to come talk about it. There's also, I know we were talking before this about, you know, former, or let's call them, you know, retired soldiers that are former SOF. Mm-hmm. And what could they do? What role could they play? And I'll just say, whether you're active duty or retired, you know, whatever you did in the Army, whatever you do, when you are telling your story about why you went SOF, mm-hmm. that story alone, that testimonial is, you know, it's a recruiting kind of it's one of our secrets is that that's kind of the basis of the most effective recruiting technique. Tell your story in a positive way of how this benefited you, because that resonates, and it is the authenticity that folks are looking for. Mm-hmm. We know that influencers to join the military or to join SOF, some of the main influencers besides spouses, significant mm-hmm. others, is those former members, people that are in or were in that career field that are talking to somebody about it. So whether that's an active duty unit, say a Special Forces team, an ODA, that's out there conducting training or operational or combat deployments right now, wherever and whenever they're interacting with other soldiers and you know, showing them the professionalism, the elite, the advanced skills, the importance of what they're doing in a positive way, interacting with those troops, that is one of the most powerful tools we've got to benefit from, which is that interaction. And the same goes for, again, those mentors, those other those veterans that have served in SOF formations.
Yeah, the personal stories and connections is always the big motivator.
If I can add one more thing on that, I think I wrote this down, so I kind of want to say it, is it is important to say that, you know, with regard to the movies and the books and the portrayals, you know, it's been said, I believe it was a SOCOM commander, couple years ago, I don't recall exactly, but you know, we have a culture of being the quiet professionals, mm-hmm. and that's great and that's beneficial. But in a time of a hyper competitive environment, to find the sufficient amount of the right, you know, high quality candidates to man the force, being the quiet professional, you know, or being the silent professional in our case, that's how it's described. can sometimes work against us. Because again, back to that awareness, not enough people know. Mm-hmm. And here we are, we've been doing this great things, you know, on the front, leading edge of combat for the past almost 20 years. And we're still saying, hey, people don't know enough about what we do. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance we got to strike there. And balancing, you know, operational security with synchronization is always a struggle there. How do you get the right mix?
So for someone who is in the Army and is now thinking, oh, maybe I should learn more about this, where should they go? What resources should they use?
Yeah, I think the first and easiest resource is going to be goarmysoft.com.
Okay.
Just to clarify that, so the Army website is goarmy.com. Mm-hmm. Within that, there is also information on Army Special Operations careers. There's also links to our website. But we maintain our own website, goarmysoft.com, because this is specifically tailored to that active duty in-service market, mm-hmm. as well as the link to the warrant officer website. But that's first and foremost. That will get you wherever you need to go. It clearly doesn't have everything on it because mm-hmm. we don't want to inundate the website.
Yeah.
But that's a start point to, A, see some of the videos that not only talk about the history of these different career fields, these different elements, but as well as some of the information right now just to, you know, what are the entry requirements to join or to attend selection. It also talks about some preparation, not only how to build your packet to go, but also some preparation information material about, so how do I get prepared for assessment and selection, mm-hmm. whichever one that is.
Mm-hmm.
It can also point you to wherever you're at. Again, if you're deployed or if you're serving on a different installation right now, it can get you very quickly to one of our recruiters, you know, their actual physical address, the building number, as well as, you know, telephone information and some emails.
Great. All right. Well, I'll put that link in the description of the episode for
Thanks
sure
very much.
So people can get to it. And thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, it was great talking to you.
Soft Spot is brought to you by the Global Soft Foundation, a 501c3 based in Tampa, Florida. If you're new to us, you can find out more about the foundation at gsoft.org. That's Gulf Sierra October Foxtrot.org.